Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing creating a holiday spending plan.
Yeah, Joel, you know, it kind of seems early to talk about the holidays. It is only October, but it's going to be important for us to talk about these things now before we get to the holidays. We're discussing ways to get through the holidays without debt. We're going to talk about healthy habits when it comes to holiday spending, man.
Yeah, Matt, there's a stat that says 50% of consumers say it will take more than 3 months to pay off their balances after the holidays. That's a big problem. And so, yeah, we've got some thoughts that we want to share in order to help people avoid that, because it feels nice to buy people fancy gifts for the holidays, but then January comes, you get the credit card bill in the mail, and that's when it really sucks. That's when it's not good. And so it makes that spending, it like kind of taints it, I feel like.
The tainted holidays.
I know, right? You don't want to be there.
Sounds like a lawsuit.
Or a band. I don't know. All right. But before we get there, Matt, what do you want for the holidays? Anything that you want in your stocking or under the tree? Maybe a little more sleep?
That sounds really good.
I wish someone could wrap that up and give it to me. Like, take the bags out from under my eyes.
Dude, yeah, we each have had our babies on the scene now for a couple months. I'm still not getting great sleep, but actually, so related to that, I had a story to share with you about Venmo.
All right, I want to hear how Venmo equals no sleep. Like, how do these tie together?
Here's the thing. So we thought that the reason Weston wasn't getting great sleep is because we kind of have this different sleeper, this bedside sleeper unit. And he was sort of getting turned diagonal a little bit. And we'd wake up and see him kind of crammed in the corner. It just didn't look like he was very comfortable. So we thought, you know what? He needs to be laying on something flat. Maybe just a little bit nicer bassinet. Maybe we went cheap and got the least expensive safe option, and we're paying for it because we're not getting any sleep now.
Yeah, that's not worth it right there, man. I'd trade hard cash for sleep any day of the week.
Well, that's exactly what we did. So Kate found something on the neighborhood's sell and swap. It was a basically brand new bassinet. She'd found it online as well. It had great reviews, and it was an amazing deal. I went over to their house, saw it, you know, it was brand new, didn't have spit up on it or anything.
Did you hold it under a black light to make sure?
No black light. But keep in mind how I mentioned that I haven't gotten much sleep, right? And so I'm halfway aware of what's even going on while I'm over there. Like, I probably fell asleep just kind of leaning against the wall while the lady was talking to me. And so she told me her Venmo name, because that's how you do stuff, right? You don't really carry around cash, or I don't at least.
No, most people don't anymore, especially people in their 20s and 30s. They're totally used to sending money virtually through Venmo and Cash App.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very used to it as well. Very used to punching in someone's name accurately. But in this particular instance, man, I did not do that. I got her name. Let's say, for example, her name was Cassie Smith. And
I like the made-up names. Very nice.
Well, in fact, she said her name was Cassie Smith, too. And so I was like, done, got it. So I punched it in and popped right up. I was like, gotcha, I see you right here. Clicked it, punched in $30, sent it to her. And she's like, all right, here, let me help you take it out to the car. I didn't think much of it. Took it home, we were done, right? Until an hour later, I get a message from Venmo from Cassie Smith, too, that says, wrong person. And I was like, what? Is she just messing with me? Because I pulled it up right with her right there. And I mean, Cassie Smith too, right? Like, how many Cassie Smith too are there? Well, turns out there's at least two of them, because it totally was the wrong person. And I wanted to share the story because you need to make sure that you have the exact right screen name or handle when you're using Cash App or when you're using Venmo, because those companies, they don't have any control over the money that you send to people. Once it goes into their account, it's their money and they don't have to send it back.
Right. Yeah. And there's no protections for anybody if you send money. Whereas if you use a credit card and you don't receive the items, right, that you purchased, you have the ability to do a chargeback. Well, there's nothing like that when it comes to Venmo or Cash App. And with Venmo, it's easy to see the people that you've paid before. They're kind of in your history. Same thing with Cash App. But if it's somebody new,
exactly,
that's when it's the most difficult. So if it's somebody that's done work at my house and it's the first time I've paid them, I just have to make sure I show it to them physically. Like, is this your right screen name?
Yeah, that's what I should have done in that case.
So that's like really the only way around it is to actually pull it up and show it to their face and say, is this your actual screen name?
And they have the scan feature too. Like, you can pull it up, pull up your profile, and it pulls up the, what do you call it? The bar, you know, like the square with like the different coded shaded sections or whatever. Yeah. So just to ensure that you get the right person. But so again, it wasn't a big deal. And I thought, surely that's you. Didn't think much of it.
So did fake Cassie Smith too. Did she, or other Cassie Smith too, I should call her.
She's a real Cassie Smith too.
Yeah. Was she above board? Did she send that $30 back?
Well, eventually. It's like a lot of conversation back and forth. But the fact was she was afraid that I was trying to pull one on her because it was totally random. And I looked into this because I thought there's no way that could actually be a thing, but it is. There's been some reports of fraudulent payments being sent to people and then them saying, oh no, wrong person. And then they ask for it back. And somehow that person who sends it back, they're out that money because the initial money wasn't maybe fully in, fully deposited. I'm not exactly sure how it works because I'm not a criminal, but that's something to take into account. So if you ever get money sent to you, you know, be above board, be cool, send it back. But if it seems fishy, right? If they have like a weird history or if it's a brand new user, definitely something worth reaching out to Venmo and just letting them know that like, hey, this is going on. Should I be doing this? And I think that could be a really healthy and safe way to be above board, but still take advantage of those different apps.
Yeah, I've heard about that with fake checks. Like you get a check in the mail, right? And exactly. Then they're like, send me back $600, but I give you a check.
I overpaid you.
$5,000, you know? Right. It's like, oh, that's okay. I'm still walking away with a ton of money in this situation. But really, the check is fake. It looks like it clears and then it doesn't. Then the bank realizes that it's not a real check and then they want their money back. And it's just, yeah, that's a hairy situation. But yeah, I've not heard about that with Venmo. So that's fascinating and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, overall, still very safe. But like we said, make sure you have the person's name, right? Their handle exactly correct.
Yep, yep. Show it to their face. All right, Matt, let's get to the beer that we're having on this episode. Today on the show, we're drinking a beer called Timely Surrender by Archetype Brewing. And this was sent to us by Brad and Corinna, who brewed the beer themselves, right?
Yeah, they are the owners or founders of Archetype Brewing up there in Asheville, North Carolina. So thanks so much for sending us this beer.
Yeah, Monday's IPA was excellent. And I love me a good Saison, so I'm excited to drink this one and talk about it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, man, me too.
All right, Matt, let's get on to the subject at hand. Today on the show, we're talking about creating a holiday spending plan. The problem is most people don't have a plan for how much they're going to spend and who they'll be buying for this holiday season. And their budgets get wrecked because they overspend. And lots of Americans will have a holiday spending hangover and be paying off those unforeseen expenses well into the new year. But if we start saving money now and start planning for how we're going to spend, we can avoid that kind of January nastiness and the ridiculous bill that we don't actually have the money to pay off, right?
You know what I love around the holidays? Like a nice fresh blanket of snow like outside for Christmas and some fresh credit card debt.
Well, in Atlanta, we're not getting snow, buddy, but we're also not getting credit card debt either.
Yeah, that's true, man. So a few main points before we dive into just how to set up a spending plan is just overall, you want to make sure that you're not going into debt for the holidays, that you're not going into the red, spending money on gifts. You want to only spend the money that you actually have. And so make a commitment to not go into debt over holiday spending. No one's going to love you more just because you spent more than you could actually afford.
And if they say that they'll love you more because you spend more, that's not somebody you want to hang out with.
No, those are keepers. Right?
That's a bad friend. But
you know, here's the thing. If you just love giving gifts and you want to spend more, just be creative about it. Find other places that you can cut back on to increase the amount you have for holiday spending. So for example, if you change cell phone providers to save maybe $50 a month, like that is going to give you more gift money to spend every single month.
Yeah, no doubt. I love the idea of looking at your budget, finding places to cut, and then allocating that money towards the positive things that you want to do. So like if gift giving is really, really important to you, but you don't have the money to make it happen, well, finding ways to cut your current budget so that you can allocate more money towards gift giving is an awesome way to do it. Also, another thing you need to do probably right now, if you're into online shopping, is install the plugin called Honey or something similar. There are other plugins that do similar work, but
Honey's the best.
Honey's the best. It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, so people should install that right now. It helps with coupon codes, and really it's just going to help you save money when shopping online. Honey can help you see like the price history of a particular item. It can give you notifications of price drops if you sign up for that. And also, it will kind of do this automatic searching for coupon codes so you're not going down a Google rabbit hole to try to find a coupon code for that website. So I would do that now if you're into online shopping.
Nice, man. A nice little plug for a plugin.
Yeah.
Another thing is we want to encourage folks to start early. Another reason we're talking about holiday spending this early in the year, this early in the season, is because last minute Christmas shopping is the worst, right? It's hard for planning and you'll end up spending way more money that way. You actually want to make sure that you're thinking like a retailer. Like retailers are thinking about the holiday season like the following year. And you know what? That's not a bad approach.
Yeah, retailers would prefer for you to buy all your gifts between like December 16th and December 25th. I mean, that's when they want you to buy because they're not running sales anymore at that point in time. the biggest price competition is in mid to late November, really. That's when you're going to find the best deals on things, maybe creeping into early December. But if you want to save the most money on gifts, if you want your dollar to stretch further this holiday season, and you are planning on shopping online in regular, bigger retail stores, locally, small businesses, the best sales, the biggest discounts, you're going to find those earlier on in the holiday shopping season. And if you wait too long, if you are a last minute shopper, you're going to pay a heck of a lot more. And that could end up really throwing a big wrench in your budget.
Unless you're just like me and you love waiting to the last second, because that used to be my MO back in high school, back in college even. I used to totally wait until Christmas Eve.
And do you feel like you paid a lot more because of it?
I don't know. I wasn't very price conscious when I was in high school or in college. I was just kind of like, I got to get something for mom. I waited too late. And I was totally the guy that's like parking up on the curb because there's so many cars at the mall. Do you remember the mall, by the way?
Yeah. I think they still exist. Some of them.
Actually, I don't think they do. They're gone.
Some. Not all of them, that's for sure. They're going the way of the dodo bird. It's interesting to see how malls are being reconfigured and the companies that are buying malls to do something different with them, because people just don't shop at malls like they used to.
You go to the mall and work, you know? Like, it's just a giant WeWork now. Like, you can go there and get work done. But we were kind of joking about thinking like a retailer, but you really do need to think that far in advance. If you can even start thinking about the next holiday season now, that is going to put you in an even stronger position. Consider opening even a separate savings account where you can funnel just however much you need to, maybe $20 or $50 a month for next year's holiday spending. It's just about having a plan, having time on your side so that you can implement and execute that plan.
Yeah. I mean, some people might think we're crazy for doing an episode about holiday spending in October.
Yeah, it's like when the Christmas decorations go up and it's not even Halloween yet, right?
Right.
That's what this episode feels like.
But it's even crazier that we're talking about creating a holiday spending plan for 2020, right? But really and truly, if you want to make sure you're fully prepared for Christmas, it takes budgeting in advance. It takes setting aside that money every single month, because you, in all likelihood, know roughly what you're going to spend for Christmas based on last year's spending. And we're going to get into more on that and how you actually create a solid spending plan right after the break.
All right, Joel, we are back from the break. We're talking about holiday spending. And like the title of this episode says, this is about creating a holiday spending plan. And so having a solid spending plan is just so clutch. And here now are some specific steps you can take to get started. Joel, you just hinted at taking your cues from last year's spending, right? If you don't even know where to begin now, it's not a bad idea to base this year's spending on what you spent last year, assuming that you didn't overspend. Think about who you bought for. Did you buy for teachers? Maybe some distant relatives?
Third cousins are a no-go. You don't have to buy for them.
Forget them. But then ask yourself, do you plan to buy for those folks again? And if so, like, what seems like a reasonable amount of money? This will give you a realistic starting point for how much you can save and set aside. And before the break, we know we talked about setting aside like 20, 40, or 50 bucks a month. Well, this is when you actually determine that amount. When you take that total and you've got your annual spending for the holidays, you just take that, divide that by 12, and then set that money aside every single month, just like you would towards an annual bill.
Yeah, and make sure you're adding in new people. So like, let's say you got a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you didn't have one last year. Looking at last year's spending can get you a long way, but don't forget about them.
Yeah. Looking at last year's will get you like 95% of the way there,
yep,
right? Like,
exactly.
But you still need to make some small tweaks. But that's exactly what we do every year, dude. We'll take 2018's Christmas spending Excel file. I will copy and paste that, change it to 2019, and then we'll just open it up and Kate will go in there and kind of tweak some numbers, maybe add somebody, maybe cut somebody. But it's really that easy, and that will get you most of the way there. But don't forget any special significant others who may have joined you in the past year.
True. All right. And also, it's important to round up. Have an amount specified to that you can factor in if you go over. So if you can allocate 5% more than you thought you would spend, well, that can help ease the pain if you do overspend on a gift for a loved one. That way you don't feel quite so cramped or tempted to throw in the towel if you blitz through the budget that you had set for yourself. I know sometimes you find that perfect gift for somebody and you had, let's say, $30 allocated for their gift, but it's a $50 gift and it's perfect. You really, really want to get that for them. I think there are ways to try to see if you can get a better deal on it, whatever. But if that's ultimately the gift that you want to buy for somebody, having that excess amount budgeted in for overages is just super helpful so that you can go over occasionally on that perfect gift for that right person.
Yeah, the idea here is that you have a number, man, that's realistic, right? And that you have a number that's not so low that you completely burn past that. And like you said, you just completely quit and give up on that budget. And so once you have that list put together, and man, personally, I do feel that like a Google Sheet or an Excel file is perfect for that because you've got all your amounts, you keep their totals running.
I just write it on my hand in pen. That's my way of keeping track.
And then you sweat profusely, wipe your brow, and you're like, oh no, my budget.
Well, and then my friend like sees it and they're like, oh, you're spending $20 on me for
totally,
Christmas.
It really gets awkward. Well, here's the thing. After looking at last year's list, what you want to do, if it's looking like you're setting yourself up to fail, to spend maybe more than you can actually afford, then it's going to be time to start making some cuts. It's time to get really picky at this point. You'll either need to maybe limit the folks that you buy for, like altogether, or maybe some combination of both. I think Joel and I would both recommend that you just cut everybody off your list, actually. Boom, problem solved.
A joyful holiday is in store for all, I'm sure.
If all else fails, just Scrooge McDuckett.
Yeah. All right, that's one way to do it. Probably not the best advice for Matt on that one. Another thing that you should do in this whole process is be tracking the whole time. Like Matt said, an Excel spreadsheet could work. I don't actually write things down on my hand and pen. That just wouldn't work out very well. But once you've created your holiday spending budget, you want to keep track as you're buying the gifts. If you get a great deal on something and spend less on somebody because of it, well, that gives you some wiggle room to spend more on others. This is how you can have even more flexibility and freedom within your budget. You want to be sure that you stick to the overall budgeted amount, and you don't want to go over that. But there is some wiggle room inside of that. If you do score just an incredibly low price on the perfect gift that you've been looking for somebody, it just gives you that ability to spend a touch more on somebody else.
Yeah, Joel, this is such an important step, right? Because you're not only just coming up with a plan, but this is the follow through, right? Like this is the actual execution. And we're not only just tracking those expenses, you're comparing it to the numbers that you have decided that you're going to spend. This isn't a situation where you just kind of close your eyes and cross your fingers, hope that it works out after you set that number at the very beginning. This is something that you are going to track and follow and monitor. Because like you mentioned, man, there's going to be times when you need to make some tweaks and adjust the amount that you're going to spend on somebody else. Because you know what? Like, I really wanted to spend more on this other person, but we're sticking to the budget. We're sticking to the plan. And really, that's the hardest part. That's kind of what it all comes down to.
Yeah, Matt. And as we're kind of thinking about tracking our purchases, one interesting way of doing it, I think that can be really, really helpful, is considering going cash only for the holiday season. If you pull out the exact amount of cash that you've budgeted to spend, it really helps you be disciplined in sticking to that number. And granted, that can be hard to do because so many of the presents that we buy for each other are online purchases these days. But going to that cash system can really help curb unnecessary spending and can help us be a little more focused as we're buying gifts for the people that we love.
Yeah, man, setting up those constraints can be a great way to help folks. But here's the thing, if you're not into that, discounted gift cards can be an awesome gift and it can be an awesome way to actually save you money when you're going to buy specific gifts for folks. You can check out Cardpool as well as Gift Card Granny. Those are both sites where you can buy or sell gift cards.
Yeah, I think really those websites are so helpful in lowering the overall amount you spend on gifts because two things. If you're buying a gift card for somebody, you can get them a gift card at the same store you're planning on actually going into the physical location or buying it on that store's website. And you can buy it at a site like Gift Card Granny or Cardpool, and you can just get it for less money. So that's one way I think these websites are really helpful. Another way is if you know that there are items at those stores, those particular stores are where you're going to do your holiday shopping. You can stretch your dollar and make it go further. So for instance, let's say you're planning on spending a lot of money at a store like Target or Old Navy or wherever, you can buy that discounted gift card on one of those discounted gift card sites. And you might be saving 8% or 12% or 15% on the gifts that you're buying for folks from those stores just by having taken that one additional step of buying a gift card that somebody else didn't want and snagging it at a discount. So I love that kind of approach. If you know kind of the stores that you're planning to shop at, it can be really helpful in just kind of driving down those overall holiday spending costs.
Yeah, man. And it actually almost works like cash, right? Like we're talking about setting those constraints. When you buy a gift card, you are going to be less likely to overspend because you have a set amount that you've already spent. And so I think that's another great way to kind of control and curb your own spending on others. So later on the show, we're going to talk about some more practical ways that you can actually save money. But real quick, man, before we go to the break, let's talk about kids, because there can be a lot of pressure when it comes to kids and presents around the holidays. There are expectations from previous years, maybe what they're seeing in advertising, and even what they see their friends getting, right? This can be the perfect time to talk about and live out what you actually value. What a great way to start some of those money conversations with your kids in order to set some realistic expectations. And instead, you can turn the focus to traditions and that time spent together as a family.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing is when you don't communicate well with your kids about what the holidays are going to look like, about where time is going to be spent, about the way Christmas morning is going to look, or whatever holiday you celebrate. If you can be upfront and communicate with them, I think your kids are way more likely to understand and to be okay with the direction that you've chosen.
Yeah, kids, let's make sure you know about Krampus, right?
Exactly.
That's what we're setting their expectations for.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But again, that's why we're putting this episode out so early in the season, because these are the kind of conversations that you need to begin having now. It's really crummy if you start telling your kid they're not going to get very many presents on December 23rd. That's a bummer. And they're not going to take it very well. But if you can start building up the idea of what the holidays mean to your family and actually follow through and make the holiday season more about time together, more about traditions, more about family events, your kid might be bummed that they don't get the latest Nintendo Switch or whatever it is that's on their list, but they'll have more of an appreciation for the way your family views it and the way you guys spend your holiday time.
Yeah, man, that's a great point. We're going to talk more about communicating and talking about these expectations. But first, let's take a quick break. All right, Joel, we were just talking about communicating with our friends and family about maybe how we might be spending less this year. We want to encourage you to not be afraid to talk about your spending or the lack thereof. Maybe others, they might even be relieved to know that the gift giving this year is going to be kind of toned down.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever had that conversation with someone in your family and they're like, please, thank you. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you too? Good.
Thank you for taking the reins on this, because it was killing me that to have to kind of meet this crazy gift giving schedule that we had set up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact is it's easy to spend less when you and everyone you know, when you're on the same page. But like we're saying, it's important to communicate that clearly and specifically why it is that you might be cutting back this year. You want to make sure that you can let that friend know that's not getting that gift? Well, it's because that you don't love them anymore.
That's always a fun conversation to have, right?
Yeah, I feel like I've been kind of in a joking bah humbug kind of mood. It's not even the holidays yet.
Talking about Krampus, talking about telling your friends you don't love them. Yeah, and I think one way to kind of help broach that conversation is to talk about the bigger goals that you have and letting your family know that that's part of the reason that you're not able to spend as much on holiday gifts. So for instance, if you are intently focused on paying off your student loan debt, or you're saving for a down payment for a home, or you've got medical bills or some other financial setbacks going on in your life, those are great reasons to spend less. But the people in your life that you love might not know that about you. They might not know that that's something that you're going after really hard. And you know what? Honestly, telling people that, hey, you know what? I've got this really small budget this year, and it's just not going to look like it has in years past. Opening up those lines of communication and letting them know why things have changed for you, honestly, I feel like that can be really, really motivating to hear from a friend. And it can deepen a relationship by getting that honest with somebody that you care about. Oftentimes, we feel a little guilty or a little weird talking about money, talking about our goals, talking about what we're prioritizing. Opening up those lines of communication, getting honest with the people around you, that is in and of itself kind of this beautiful way to spend the holidays, by increasing that level of relationship, by trusting somebody in your family or somebody in your inner friend circle enough to kind of let them know what's important to you, what you're prioritizing right now. And that can open up the lines of communication for further discussions about money that could be really impactful to you as well.
Yeah, what a much more meaningful way to spend the holidays, right?
Yeah, it's not an excuse. I think it can feel like an excuse if you're like, hey, I can't do it because of this. But if you can have a heartfelt conversation about
heart to heart
your limits and what's going on in your life, I feel like that can be really helpful.
Totally. Man, another great reason to discuss with your friends and family why you might be cutting back this year when it comes to spending around the holidays is because maybe you feel a moral obligation to cut back on the amount that you're spending, on the amount of consumption that you are a part of. Honestly, presents, like, sometimes they can be a bit overrated. Gift giving, it's a love language for some people, but for a lot of folks, they just get sucked into that advertising and that consumption mindset. Dozens of presents under a Christmas tree doesn't make for a better Christmas. But the thing is, make sure though that when you share this with your friends and family, that they know for you, it's a personal decision that you've made and that you're not judging them because they're into the gifts, right? If they're bigger spenders, that's totally fine. Just ask them to not include you with their holiday spending. Or, you know, that sounds a little negative, you know, so maybe instead they can donate that money that they would have spent on you to a charity that they really care about. I think that's an awesome way to make some positive change in our world while at the same time not participating in overconsumption.
All right, Matt, and regardless of the reason that you're spending less, well, let's talk about some easy ways to actually spend less. So one way to do this is to make homemade gifts for the people in your life. If you're having a tough time thinking of a great gift that's within your budgeted amount, maybe consider going homemade with it. Cookies, scarves, handwritten notes, it doesn't take a whole lot of money to let someone know that you care. Sometimes the best gifts that I've ever gotten are a card with a thoughtful note that lets somebody know that they were thinking of me. It didn't have to be a physical item. And oftentimes some of those smaller trinkets that come as presents during the holidays, the smaller things, they end up getting discarded. But that kind of note, that sentimentality, that meaning, it lasts for a long time.
Yeah, and on the note of scarves and on the note of gifts that you're going to give me, I remember how you said you're going to take up knitting and you're going to knit me an Atlanta United scarf. Where's my scarf, dog?
All right, it's on my to-do list. I'll see if it makes it in time for Christmas.
I'm just messing with you, dude. Although, if you made me something, I probably would wear it. So another way that you can spend less is to make it a priority to spend time with the people you love. How many crummy gifts have you gotten that you just completely forgot about over the years? Time is almost always so much more valuable once you realize the true value of time and how it's not something that you can make more of. Be intentional with the time that you have with your loved ones, especially around the holidays. And Joel, a quick example of this, I'm thinking of the gift that I gave my dad last year for Christmas for a day in Atlanta. And this isn't something that we've done before, but I think you and I, we kind of talked about this last year when we were talking about spending around the holidays. And so I thought, you know what, this is something I'm going to do. Gave it to dad, and we did that this year. Dude, and it was so much fun. He came to Atlanta. We, you know, first we had brunch with the whole family, which he totally appreciated and enjoyed. He kind of got to see sort of a peek into our lazy Saturday morning, right? And so he got to spend some quality time with the girls there in the morning. But then later that day, me and him, we went to a local brewery. We got some beers, which was a lot of fun.
There you go.
Good conversation there. And then we went to an Atlanta United match, which was a lot of fun. We won. That was the most important thing there. But then after that, we went and got some barbecue. All the beautiful, perfect things in life, right? And it was such a good time. He had a great time. I had a great time. We got to talk about some things that we hadn't talked about in a while. Yeah, shared some different stories. It was just a way for us to connect and grow our relationship at a deeper level. And that's not something that, you know, he would have gotten if I would have gotten him a tie. And there's nothing wrong with a nice tie, but just a gift.
Or an electric shaver.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, I think I need it. Not a new electric shaver, but I want to get some clippers. Okay. Like some new hair clippers.
Oh, there you
clippers.
Go. Yeah, you got to have those to do the self-trim.
To be able to cut my own hair. Exactly. No doubt. But that's just a small example of just quality time and how much more meaningful and impactful that can be.
Yeah, one more way to kind of spend less is, let's say you're doing like a family gift exchange. If you set a firm dollar amount, stick to it. I feel like in a white elephant gift party or in a family gift exchange with set spending limits, it's so the worst when one person goes way over and spends too much. Like if the white elephant gift is something fancy.
Yeah, it's like bro brought a $30 bottle of wine.
Right.
I want that.
Right, exactly. It kind of like changes the vibe. And so the same thing in your family, if you've got a spending limit, stick to it. And that's a good way of making sure everybody spends less. And it's just better if everyone sticks to the limit that's kind of been created.
Yeah, follow the rules. Another example I'm thinking of too, maybe with some larger families that have a lot of kids running around, like maybe the adults could really care less, right? If they actually receive gifts or not. But what they really want is to make sure that the kids do, right? And so in that case, make sure that you're getting gifts. You know, if you're a kid, so say you're 18 or younger, boom, you get a gift. Or if there are adults, though, who do want to do the gift exchange thing, you can draw names. You know, like that's what we do with our extended family. And that way you're not stuck with like trying to buy 18 different gifts for all the different members of the extended family.
Yeah, I love prioritizing giving to the kids because they appreciate it so much more than we do. And I don't know about you, Matt, but for me, when people are asking me what I want for Christmas, there's just almost nothing that comes to mind because I feel like I have everything that I need. I know that's not the case for everybody, but I know for a lot of folks out there, we can be a little more content with what we have. And that's kind of one of the last things that sticks out to me as an important way to spend less is to make a conscious decision to not spend on ourselves this holiday season as well. I think it can be really easy, especially when the killer deals come out and we can get a flat screen TV for $120 or something like that. It becomes really easy to start spending on ourselves this holiday season. And I think if you budget a small amount and you keep it super focused, maybe on one item that you've been really meaning to replace in your life, something like that, I think it's okay. But for the most part, if you can cut that out altogether, I think that's going to make your holiday season more meaningful, and it's going to help you spend less at the same time if you're just not out there shopping for yourself this holiday season.
Yeah, just be honest with yourself. You know why you're shopping those sales racks. Nobody else wants that stuff. You do.
Oh, I bought this for Aunt Jenny, but I think it's going to look better on me.
I guess she wants a flat screen, but maybe really I do. It's also important to keep your ultimate goal in mind. The tug of the moment can be to buy those nice things for the people around you. And you're going to be even tempted to buy those nice things for yourself. And that isn't a terrible thing to feel, to buy gifts for other people, right? But it could leave you broke. So remind yourself of your overarching savings and life goals, and to avoid overspending in the moment. For most folks, I think the true reason for the holidays is to spend quality time with those who you love. Let's try not to allow overconsumption to get in the way of that.
Those are good thoughts, my friend. All right, enough about the holidays. It's too early. Let's talk about the beer that we had on the show
today.
Honestly,
I did kind of feel that way when we were talked about doing this episode, because it feels like, oh man, Thanksgiving's not even here and all the Christmas trees are up. You know, it's like one of those numbers.
Oh my gosh. Christmas trees, Christmas stuff has been up since like mid-September in a lot of retailers.
Yes, it's so true, dude.
Which is crazy. So I know that it's on people's minds. I know people are thinking about it. I think it is important for us to talk about it now for budgeting and preparation reasons.
Yes.
But yeah, I feel weird talking about that, that's for sure. But Matt, let's talk about the beer that we had on the show today. We had a brew called Timely Surrender by Archetype Brewing. This was a Saison. We don't have a lot of Saisons, but I really, really enjoy a good Saison. And this, my friend, was a good Saison.
Yeah, Saisons, farmhouse beers, the more I have them, the more I enjoy them. It's sort of like the first time I had an IPA. I remember somebody telling me, like, yeah, it's an acquired taste. Like, it might take you a while before you enjoy an IPA. And I remember thinking, yeah, it's going to take me forever. But now it's my favorite beer. And I think Saisons are sort of like that for me.
Same with the first time I had a sour. I was like, why
really?
Would anybody want to drink this?
Oh, dude, yeah.
And then like fourth one in, I was like, yeah, I think I'm getting it. I think I understand it. And then now it's one of my favorite styles.
Dude, I completely agree with you. I enjoy the fact that my palate is expanding and I'm enjoying different style of beers. But this one in particular, it was pretty Brett heavy. And Brett is like a, what is it, a bacteria or a yeast? It's not a yeast.
Yeah, it's a yeast.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
So Brettomyces, I think that's how you say it. I always say it wrong. But they're oftentimes in Saisons, farmhouse beers. And it has a real distinct, funky barnyard type of flavor a lot of times. And this one totally had it going on. But at the same time, it wasn't weighed down by that flavor. This was a really bubbly, effervescent beer. I don't know if you saw when I poured it, but it had a lot of bubbles going on in it. It's like I was pouring a glass of champagne. It's really refreshing. I really enjoyed this one, man. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it had like a kind of like a grapefruit zesty vibe going on, while at the same time having that funkiness. I really like the citrus and the funk kind of mixed in a Saison. A little bit of earthiness, really overall, a huge fan of this beer. I'm a big fan of Saisons in general, but this one is a really good example of it. So,
and I'm a big fan of this label too, man. They're
so good.
Yeah, their labels are really pretty. We didn't really talk about Monday's episode, but they're really graphic. And you don't see a lot of graphic labels, you know, where you see a picture instead of just exactly what's in the beer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a label with words, the type of beer, and maybe like a gear or a crank or something like this. Whereas this, it's just a picture of something. It's really graphic. It's really cool.
Very artistic, for sure.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention, so Brad and Corinna, we should have mentioned this in last week's episode when we were talking about real estate, but we have some things in common with them in that they started managing real estate back in the day. And while they were doing that, they were living in a shed or like a garage in the back of one of their properties. So they were house hacking. Yeah, they were totally saving a ton of money while they were sort of getting started down their own real estate path. And so after doing well there, they decided to open up this brewery. And so now they're also crushing it in the craft beer game. So Brad and Corinna, you guys are killing it. Thanks so much for sending us this beer as well as Monday's beer, as well as being a friend of the show.
Yeah, we love friends of the show, especially ones that brew beer. It's the best. And next time I'm in Asheville, totally going to drop by Archetype Brewing. All right, Matt, let's get on to our final thoughts for this episode. There's just really a couple things I think we need to hammer home. And one of the main things is that you need to start saving now and shopping early for the people that are on your list. Because the closer you get to December 25th, the more retailers are going to be charging and the more money ultimately you're going to be spending.
And when it comes to creating that holiday spending plan, I mean, basically what we're talking about is creating a budget, right? In the same way that you start with the previous month's budget, you know, month to month with your own personal budget, we're going to do the same thing when it comes to our holiday spending budget. So look to last year's spending, start there, make tweaks, and then track that spending to make sure that you're staying the course.
And don't forget to talk about it. Open the lines of communication with people that are closest to you, whether it's your significant other or your family and friends, just by letting them know that you're prioritizing saving or paying down debt and that you won't be spending as much on gifts this year. That helps set proper expectations and also can help connect you towards the people that you love in a deeper way, especially as you prioritize quality time over fancier gifts.
Nice, man. You know, this is an episode that would have been great to have had one of our Christmas beers on, but this has been a fun episode, man. I think that's going to be it. You can find our show notes up for this one on our website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, if you like this episode, if you like this podcast, we would appreciate it if you would subscribe and consider leaving a review for us on Apple Podcasts. And you know what? If you think Matt and I can do better, we would love to hear from you too. Please drop us a line. Just go to howtomoney.com/dobetter and you can do that there. All right, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.